Hi, and welcome to our new and 10th Inside Perry podcast. We're very pleased to have Michael Seeger with us today on the podcast. Michael is heading our digital products and services department here in the headquarters at Weißenhorn. And his team is responsible for implementing and maintaining new digital products and services within the Perry world to, in the end, enrich our portfolio for the customer. So we're quite excited to learn more about the different digital offerings of Perry, but also to learn more about Michael himself. Hi, Michael. Nice to have you here today.
Hi, Anna. It's a pleasure to be here. Very much. Thank you for having me.
As we've already heard before, you are heading the Department for Digital Products and Services, but it would be really great to have you describe your job in a few sentences on your own.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as you said, I head the Department Digital Products and Services, which is really in the group our home and hub for all the digital offerings towards our clients, towards our customers. So what we do is we basically build these products, right? So that includes both the development of those products, but also making them available through our clients, to our clients, through our subsidiaries. Right. And that really kind of spans a wider range of digital offerings, which if you think about it very simply, you can think about our customers' processes, right, which usually very, very simplified, start with some type of planning and then go through an execution phase. And typically on a project, on a job site, you have some type of monitoring your activities. And that's really how our digital offerings are also kind of structured. And the team, digital products and services that I have kind of the luck and the great kind of responsibility of leading or of being responsible for, is quite a diverse team. We have development teams in Sweden. We have our small R&D hub for connected products there. We have our solution managers who look after the individual products, from the planning solutions to identification and tracking to inside construction, which is our concrete IoT product, who are mostly located here in Weißenhorn. We have some people internationally in Canada and in Dubai who look after different products, and obviously work together with a lot of external people as well, and external teams, be that external development companies. We're dealing a lot with startups in our tasks. So it's quite the diverse job, I would say. And obviously our core focus is making those digital products, making them better, building them in the first place, making them better day by day, and making them available to our customers through our subsidiaries. So obviously that's really where our work is targeted to. I hope that kind of puts it in a nutshell what we're doing really, but I guess we're going to deep dive into that a little more.
Yes, sure. Thanks a lot for the insight so far, but I'm quite sure that we will receive further deep dive information on what your team is working on later on during the podcast. What I would like to know is how did you end up working for Perry? I mean, you've mentioned that you have been working in quite different settings with a lot of different roles, but have you always been working in the context of digital offerings, and what kind of educational background do you have?
Well, I did my undergrad studies in management and economics, really, here in southern Germany, which is not where I'm from, but I did it here in southern Germany at the beautiful Lake of Constance. And through this kind of geographical proximity, I got to know Perry, because frankly, I'm not a civil engineer. I didn't have a background in construction industry, so Perry didn't mean a whole lot to me. I've actually never heard of it before, being the classical hidden champion that it is. But then I got to know Perry, and I always had kind of an affinity for family-owned companies, because I always thought it's a very interesting mixture of having this socio-dynamic situation of a family running a profit-oriented company, which is somewhat different than a normal company. And I got to know that after, well, shortly before actually doing my bachelor thesis. and found it really interesting, had a really interesting discussion with a few people and thought, well, I'll give it a shot. And joined Perry in our, back then, that's quite some years back, in our in-house consulting team. And that's really where I started. And my idea was, oh, this is a great opportunity to get to know a little bit of the company and kind of see different facets and different aspects of it. And it turned out that way. And it turned out that I then took another job after that, even though I originally had planned to do my master's degree like a year or so after. The year turned into 4.5. But I then finally made it, and I still did my master's degree. So I left Perry for good, and gonna do my master's. That was a little more focused in like strategic management. Had some aspects of innovation management, also business modeling, digital business models, and thought, okay, there's a lot I can do. Looked at many things, talked to many people, evaluated that, but actually had a great chance and a great opportunity to come back to Perry. And I really valued back then, and I still do, what I have here and the possibilities that I'm being offered. And that's why I came back. And I really then did very, very different jobs, really. I'm by no means a real subject matter expert in anything, if you want to call it that way. I did commercial topics, did pricing. I headed our controlling team, worked in one of our business units that's focused on the industrial segment, which already involved a very strong focus on digital offerings as part of the overall value proposition. And through that, I kind of ended up, as you formulated, with this topic of digital products and services, which is a topic that I have a great interest in, because I believe digitization is really something that can offer a step change to our industry and really can give us the opportunity to differentiate ourselves from other players. And it's very dynamic. And it's something where we still have to learn a lot and we still have to build a lot. And maybe that is the one kind of ongoing thread that you could find through my career, that it was always about building something, looking at things, trying to create something, maybe not from scratch, but at least from a rather blank page and moving it forward, which is something that I enjoy doing.
I think it's amazing to see that you have been working in so many different roles and are working on so many different topics. Therefore, I was just asking myself if this kind of flexibility that you had with regards to working on different topics, do you think that this kind of flexibility would have been possible at other companies too? Or do you think this is something which is kind of unique for Perry as a company, because they allowed you to have this kind of flexibility of choosing what you're interested in or going after what the business or our customers are looking for?
I really do think that that is a specialty of this and of our company. And probably there's other companies that are similar, but I by all means don't think that this is something that's very, very common. So I was given a lot of responsibility early on. I took a team lead very early on in my career and continue to be leading teams and leading people, and always have been able to do my jobs with an, to me, incredible degree of freedom and flexibility. And when I talk to other people and work in like larger type corporations especially, or remember my experiences from my student life, internships and so on, everything there is a lot more structured, a lot more kind of narrowed down in terms of your responsibilities. So I do think this is a specialty of our culture here, really trusting our people and giving them a very long leash and letting them do what they can do best and kind of excel in that and grow in that and allow them to make mistakes too, because that obviously is a big part of the learning process. And I don't feel we have a culture where somebody is kind of blamed a lot, or if we're called punished or whatever for making mistakes, but it's accepted as being part of a journey and part of growth. And somebody actually at a student kind of event once asked me the question, why do you like working for Perry? And then I told him, well, one part of that is because they always give me a pair of shoes that's a size or two too big. And that kind of describes why I like working here. And probably that goes towards your question.
It was great to talk about your career path at Perry so far, but I think it's also quite interesting to learn more about the digital products or the digital offerings that Perry has to offer themselves. So therefore, I'm curious to know, like, how would you describe the digital offerings that your team is working on to someone who doesn't have any idea of the construction industry itself, or what kind of topics are related to the construction industry, maybe?
Of course. It helps to obviously first look at our current value creation for our clients and how then digitization is, or digital products are in some cases kind of enhancing that or expanding that value creation. Or where it's really kind of standalone topics that are purely fueled by digital technology. So I kind of laid out that process earlier, right? You typically, if our clients start and they receive our material, which is always some system type, either formwork or scaffolding, and some people sometimes refer to it as very big Lego, and you can combine it in different ways. Then same as with Lego, you can do that freely and you probably arrive at something funny it's fine, but you probably don't arrive at the exact thing that you want to build. But for that, you actually need some support in planning. Today, in many cases, that support obviously is done by our engineers for our clients, right? That's part of our core business, of our physical value creation. And what we can do with digital offerings in this planning process is providing our clients and the users with a higher degree of autonomy, because we provide them, for example, with easy to use configuration or planning tools, right? And these are really easy to use, some of them. They're obviously then targeted at easier applications, not at the most complex engineering project that you could think of. But they then enable the user to be, as I said, more autonomous, get a solution quicker, being more independent ultimately, and not kind of having to rely on our engineering resources purely. But there's also more complex tools in this planning regard, which allow for statical calculations and then even very, very complex engineering applications. If you then go further, right, you've planned something, you've designed something, you know what you want to build, well, you're shipping all of this material to site. And in many cases, our material does account for quite some value on the site. It's a lot of material, it's heavy material, and you want to know where it is. You want to know if it's being used. So that's where we come into play with basically tracking and tracing devices, where we use IoT technology at the end of the day. Sensors, tags, beacons, whatever you want to call them, attach them to the physical material to make it basically trackable. So you know where the material is at. Ultimately, the idea is you know that, is it being used? So are you actually making use of the material? So providing our clients with the insight if they're getting everything out of the material or if it's just lying around, which is obviously waste for our client. And we want to help them streamline their processes and become more efficient in those. Goes further in kind of identifying certain material, being able to put together solutions, complex solutions more easily, and so on. Then again, moving further in the process, material has arrived, formwork has arrived in this case, it's being assembled. You want to start your concreting operations. This is where we have one specific focus with our kind of product range that we call InSite Construction, which is focused at the concreting process on site, which is obviously, per our history, something that's kind of near and dear to us. And what we're trying to do there is, again, use technology to enable better decision making. So we're measuring different parameters in the concrete, in the fresh concrete, to enable the people on site to take better decision in terms of when to strike the formwork, because they know or they have an kind of estimation or that's based on measurements on how mature the concrete is, on how fast to pour the concrete, because they know the actual pressure in the formwork, and so on. So really it is about enabling with technology to take better decisions. Which goes at several trends, obviously, that are happening on site, right? You have less experienced, less educated people that really know the different matters, specifically concrete being a very, very complicated matter in depth. You have additional challenges there because the material is changing rapidly, right? Decarbonization is a huge topic for the concrete industry and with that for us. So the recipes are changing, the materials you're adding are changing. And with that, everything that you know about concrete, all the norms that you have, all the experience that you have about how the material behaves, somewhat becomes obsolete. And you need to find other ways to kind of measure that and take your decisions. And that's where really these solutions come into play and help take those decisions. And ultimately, there's solutions that are targeted at managing job sites, really. So we, for example, have one program that's very much targeted at industrial scaffold management, huge sites, a lot of material, a lot of people, and you kind of want to coordinate that. You want to create transparency for those in charge of the site. And to put it even more on a meta level, really, it's about closing a feedback loop between planning a site or a project, which typically we're really good at. And there's a lot of effort going into planning, and there's a lot of digital technology being used in planning, designing, and so on. But then when the project starts, this kind of all crumbles and kind of the feedback is there's no link, right? So you got to close that feedback loop and feed the information back to the people who are in charge of the project, who can steer the project, give them the information that they need so that they can avoid the most typical problems and challenges, namely time and budget overruns, really, in most of the cases, as we all know, on construction projects.
I think it's amazing to see on what kind of innovative topics you are working in your team. I mean, just to rephrase some of the keywords that you just mentioned, RFID, tracking and tracing, IoT and sensorics, all of these are quite important topics that will be kind of business relevant for our company in the future. Therefore, maybe just to have a kind of look into the future, but what might be future products or, let's put it that way, new demands of our customers that you could think of?
Well, I mean, there's obviously this super trend going on for years, decades, some might even say now, about building information modeling, which ultimately is the idea to have a model, but also all the information of a project, of a building, all in one place. And I think a lot of kind of requests, a lot of demands are going that way. Again, kind of closing the loop and closing the flow of information about everything that is happening and making it available in one central place. Our industry is very fragmented today by nature of kind of the players that are acting in it, by nature of standards that are there or better not there. And by nature of kind of the fact that you're always or in many cases on a project level and people are kind of assembling for this one project and then they kind of disassemble again. And then it's a different mix of people that are on the next project, right? So it's not like the same team, the same players always working and improving and learning, but it's always a new set of people. And this kind of degree of fragmentation obviously inhibits learning and it inhibits productivity gains. It inhibits knowledge exchange across the different players and so on. So And here, digital technology, I believe, can come into play and can create new offerings through platforms where information is shared, through technologies such as IoT-based sensing technology, as I've described, that can give actual information from the site easily back into a system in a systemized way, right? Not by somebody walking around site, looking at things, noting them down on a notepad or kind of storing them in his or her own memory, but really by making it available as information and as data in a systematic fashion. And I believe a lot of the demands and a lot of the products that we will see will kind of tackle this idea of creating more data, more information, and making it available in a structured fashion to the different players along a project, but also beyond a project. So utilizing the information and the data that's created on projects, not only for that one project, but in kind of perpetuity.
You just mentioned that you are to some extent working in a, how you called it, fragmented environment. Therefore, I was wondering what are the challenges that you have faced or that you are still facing when it comes to implementing digital products in this, what some people might call rather traditional construction industry?
Well, yes, I mean, you could argue that the construction industry is maybe traditional, and some people sometimes say it's difficult to bring in innovation or new technology. I sometimes feel this is more a reputation than the actual reality. People are actually really willing to embrace technology and to use new solutions if there's a value for them. And if it kind of solves a problem for them, if it does a job for them better, right? They're very pragmatic. They're not so happy to introduce something just for the sake of introducing technology if it doesn't make their lives better and if it doesn't really solve a problem for them. And one of the challenges here is probably in many cases to really figure out, okay, who's taking the decision ultimately? Who's really driving that? Who's really driving a certain decision? Who's really kind of making the call at the end of the day to introduce a certain technology or not? And because of the fragmentation and because of the structure that you have on different projects, sometimes even like the interests of people are not completely aligned, right? One party might be very interested in creating a bigger transparency on a project, which the other party might not. So you really have to kind of, it's not only about solving technical problems, but it's also about understanding the dynamics that are going on projects, the dynamics that are going on in companies and in teams, so that you can really kind of drive the value for the ultimate users by understanding this and by really kind of also bridging this gap and bridging this this problem.
You mentioned before that your team is working on a lot of different topics. So as you just said, RFID, tracking and tracing, but also having a closer look at the material itself, concrete. What kind of requirement does this bring along when it comes to the skill set of your team, and what, most importantly, should somebody bring along who would like to join your team in the future?
Yeah, as you say, it's about diversity in this case in terms of kind of the skill set and the experience that people bring. And we have people with background in product management. We have people who have been civil engineers and then kind of expanded into becoming concrete technicians. We have IT people in our teams. We have a wood engineer in our team, which is somewhat maybe a strange thing to expect for software products and digital products, but he obviously also has a very strong grasp about our customers' processes. And then we have developers, front-end, back-end developers, embedded developers who are really kind of deep into the electronics development and firmware and everything. People with marketing and UX, UI backgrounds. So from this kind of diverse range, you probably get the idea that well, it's about spanning kind of spanning the whole area of what makes a product, right? And what makes a product is an understanding of the user's problem, which is the problem that we're solving, which is the job that we are getting done with our product. And for that, it helps to have people who understand that very well from their own practical experience. So my colleague Henning there, who I've mentioned earlier, he's a civil engineer. He's been building bridges and tunnels himself. He's been walking around site, checking temperature in concrete every 30 minutes on a huge product project. So basically he was walking around site, and by the time he was done with his 30-minute check, he basically had a few minutes left, and then he needed to go again. And he needed to do that all through the night. So he has a proper understanding of why an automated solution that does that, that acquires the data for you, and you don't need to go out and walk to the place and actually measure the temperature yourself physically. He understands the problem very well, and he understands the job that we're doing there also very well. So just that as an anecdotal example. So understanding the client's problem, and then obviously being able to turn that into a product. And turning that into a product, especially in the area of digital products, usually has two sides, right? The one is the technical implementation, which then involves people who understand how to develop that. When electronics are involved, obviously it's become a lot more complicated, or people who understand how this can be integrated with our formwork or scaffolding products. But then also, understanding how to make that a usable product. Which is obviously a huge topic in terms of user experience and user interaction, to really make that an easy-to-use, user-centered product. And so that really spans all the different areas, and with that, and we really try to have this team that can do these different jobs. And it's also different, and I think I've mentioned that, for the different offerings that we have, right? For some, you need somebody who understands this concreting process. On the other side, if it's a product for the industrial scaffolding, you need people who understand the customer problems and challenges there. And this is what we have in our team. We have two guys who've been working in that industry for decades, basically. They've been industrial scaffolders themselves, moved up the ranks there, and really understand what's going on and what's moving our clients. And I think the second part of your question is, so who would be looking for? What's kind of the personality, the characteristics that we're looking into? Well, obviously, one is specific in terms of the skill set, because that somewhat relates to the type of product that we're looking at. But the other one is very much about the mindset and about the person's beliefs, which go towards challenging and pushing further kind of existing products that we have, existing boundaries, people who are fast learners and who are willing to kind of explore new territory, if you want to call it that way, independently, who want to grow along with kind of the product that they're growing, who have a passion for these topics. I think I've explained earlier a lot of what Perry does, and probably also with that, a lot of what we're doing is very much about being independent and having a lot of responsibility, having large degrees of freedom, which to some people might then be too little structure, right? There might be people who need more structure, who need more guardrails and guidelines, but we don't have them. We're building this. We're building this kind of new facet of our business. So we need people who are willing to kind of take on that as a proactive challenge. And who always, and in every case, and all the time, kind of put the customer and the user first, and kind of think, okay, what is it solving for them? Why are we doing it this way? What's the value that we're adding through this? And iterate on that question, really. So that's, in a nutshell, maybe the type of people that we'd be looking for. And we're always very happy to make some kind of advertisement here, to reach out to us and to join a team. Yes, absolutely.
And then last but not least, but I think still a very interesting question, Is there anything that we can't find in your CV, but which is still very, very interesting to know about?
That's a tough one, but maybe recently I acquired a very important skill throughout the Corona crisis because of all that hanging around at home and trying to make the kids happy on a Friday night. And I claim for myself, I make incredibly good pizza. So whoever joins the team maybe has the chance to have one of those really good pizzas at some point. And I've not yet put it on my CV, but maybe at some point if I develop the skill even further, I might put it on my CV as an additional skill. So then I have to find something new to tell you next time.
Unfortunately, we're already coming to an end again with today's episode. So thank you very much, Michiel. It was really, really great to have you as a guest on our podcast today.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
To all of you out there, as always, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode again. And if you're interested, please feel free to have a closer look at our website, perry.com. There you will find further information on the digital offerings of Perry. See you soon, maybe even at the Bauma in Munich in October. And we're looking forward to giving you exciting Perry insights again quite soon.